emails attempting to steal our financial details, dodgy phone calls from suspicious-sounding banks, credit card details stolen. The list of scams goes on and on. What can we do to protect ourselves against these scammers? That's what I'm talking about today with my guest, Paul Mental Theft Newton.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. And today I have got a fantastic guest. We've had him before in Series 1. Had to get him back again for Series 2. And when you listen to this episode, you'll understand why. My guest today is Paul Newton. He's a friend of mine. Paul has been a magician for most of his life, ever since his parents bought him a Paul Daniels magic set for his birthday. Magic has been his main career for over 10 years, having stepped away from the corporate world to follow his passion. He had many different jobs in the past, including working in theatres as a technician and working within sales teams around the country. His last proper job was working for Thomas International, where he helped companies to understand their staff better through the use of psychometric assessments. Now, understanding people and how they tick has really helped Paul to produce and design shows all around the world. He uses trickery, stagecraft, and blatant cheating, quite frankly, to entertain and confuse crowds of people. In his book, Mental Theft, he explains how his love of magic and mind-reading techniques has made him realize that people can be duped into giving away their closest secrets, which includes their passwords, their PIN numbers, and so many other things which could make personal and business security a massive issue. So he now travels the world, both in person and via the internet, helping people to realize that their world could be so much more secure with just a few tweaks. That's a really important thing for him to help people do, because so many people these days have got a lot of fears around identity theft and around having our data compromised. So that's why I had to get Paul on, so we can focus purely on talking about data security, identity theft, and all these sorts of things. Because it doesn't just affect big companies, does it, Paul? It can affect individuals as well.
Yeah, mate. I was talking with a guy today, okay? He's a really confident guy. He's a fellow entertainer, and something horrible happened at his parents' house. Someone set fire to a car. And because of that, he's actually nervous whenever he goes to his parents' house. And this happened quite a while ago. But because someone messed about with something that you find so personal, it's in his parents' space, in his parents' land. They went onto that land and set fire to something. He still has worries about it. And seriously, if I ever introduced you to him, you'd think he's one of the most confident men you've ever met. But it's almost that feeling of being violated in some way. That if your house is burgled, if your car gets broken into, there's that horrible feeling of somebody else has touched my stuff. Hmm. And it's massive. But we've got to, if you're scammed, okay, if you're scammed in any way, we've got to get rid of that feeling of it's some kind of taboo. It's some kind of thing we can't talk about or can't admit has happened. Because the more we talk about it and the more we admit it, the better chance other people have of not being scammed or not being violated by those types of people. So I'm actually on a real bit of a crusade at the moment, trying to just get people to talk about the times they are scammed.
Yeah, and that's you touched on such an important point there, that as with so many things, it's awareness of it, and it's being able to be open and talk about it that lets other people go, oh, it wasn't just me. And yeah. even that in itself can be a huge relief. And also by talking about it, we help other people to at least secure themselves a bit against these things. I guess one thing we should point out right from the start, because obviously a lot of people have a lot of fear about being scammed and so on. I don't want to give everybody the impression that every person on the planet is out to scam them and we're all being scammed 24/7.
No, but if they were a great groupie, be careful.
Well, yeah, exactly. But how common would you say scams are for the average person in the street?
Okay. I honestly think with technology involved now, people try and scam us daily. Mm-hmm. Now, you probably have filters set up on your emails, but I know, Keith, that if you went into your spam folder, you know, all those emails that your computer has already said, this is rubbish. If you went in and looked at them, I would lay a bet there's daily scams in there because people get hold of your email address somewhere and try to get your information. So I think with technology, it's on a daily basis now. If you're just out in the real open world, not so much. You know, the real life scammers, the types that are trying to lift your wallet or the types that are trying to scam you out of £10 by doing a con of some kind, that hardly ever happens, okay? Mm. I've had one of my credit cards was cloned once while I was walking through London. I know exactly which card it was because I always make sure there's no way that card can be used. And it's almost my fake credit card that I use to annoy scammers. All of my other cards are hidden behind RFID protection cases or cards, which means that no contactless machines can read them. And actually, that's quite a big one. I find a lot of people have got contactless cards, but they know nothing about RFID protectors. So a lot of people are walking around with three or four cards in their pocket that a scammer can just read by walking past them, and they don't know they can even protect themselves from it.
Let's just unpack that for a second. So if most of our credit cards these days, they're contactless, and there's no two ways. It's brilliant. It makes life so much easier when you're buying your groceries or getting your hot chocolate or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're saying if I've got my contactless cards in my wallet, hidden away in my pocket, which nobody can get.
Yep.
They can still steal that card information.
Yeah. Right. So I'll tell you how easy it is. I could go onto a well-known buying site. It could be eBay, could be Facebook, could be Amazon. I can buy the kit that reads contactless information for under £50. Now, once you've got that information, don't get me wrong, it is coded, it is hidden. It's not just, here's your 16-digit card number, here's your start and end date, and here's the three. It's not that easy. But these guys then plug that all of that information. You walk around a shopping centre and you get a few hundred people in one hit. They then plug it into their computers that tries to decipher each of the cards. Now, to tell you how quickly they can do that, I just gave you an example of one card that I have. It's a contactless card, but it's not credit. You have to load cash onto it for it to be used. So I purposely never have any cash on it, but I do get alerts if somebody tries to spend money on it. So I literally, on my way home from doing a gig in London, walked through a market that I use in London because they sell some good quality kit that I use for stage shows. I went from there, went to London Waterloo, and when I got on the station, the credit card company was calling me saying, we think we need to send you a new card.
Wow. It was that quick.
It was less than a 15-minute walk, and somebody had tried to spend £4,000 on that card.
Blimey.
Wow. And they did it sensibly. They did it sensibly. So they tried $2,000 first, then they tried for $1,000, then they tried for $500, and they kept knocking down the amounts, hopefully finding my credit limit and wanting to spend whatever's available. But they didn't know that what was available was zero.
Sounds like my cards, but they're zero as well. But that's not through design.
That's because you maxed them out on bow ties.
That's the one. Hey, bow ties are cool.
I completely agree. And
so
I like the program that comes from too.
Exactly. Half the people listening to this will be going, I get that reference, just like Captain America. The other half will be going, what are you two on about?
What about bow ties? Nobody wears a bow tie.
All right, so does that mean that we should throw out all of our contactless cards? Because now they're more leaky than cash?
No, right. So if you are worried about contactless kit, you can get... this is going to look like a blatant plug now, but I promise we didn't set this up. So on my site, you can buy an RFID protector card like that. It looks really snazzy with the company name Mental Theft and one of my sponsors on the back of it, Aeris. And put that into your wallet. If you put that on the outside of your credit cards, it blocks any machine being able to read your cards. If you go onto Amazon or eBay or something like that, you can now buy phone cases that you can put your phone into, and it doubles up as a wallet, and it's got the RFID protection in the outside of the case. So nobody can read any of the cards that are inside that phone case. If you're a girl or a guy that likes lots of different fashion, seriously, just have a look on Amazon at different wallets or different purses that have got RFID protection on them. There's so much choice now. It's brilliant. But what bothers me is whenever I go and do a talk about security, I will always say to people, right, hands up if you use contactless credit cards or debit cards. Every hand goes up. Then I say, brilliant. How many of you use RFID protection? Normally, it's about 5%.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's so funny. When you see everyone else put their hand down and go, what's RFID protection? It's like, oh, my word.
Yeah.
I've still got a lot of work to do here.
Yeah.
So, and it's as simple as having that. Even if you've got a favorite wallet you already like, you don't have to buy one of my ones. Go on to eBay and find one with a pretty picture on it that you like. I don't mind, but yeah, get these things.
So you just get that, stick that in your wallet, and it's going to protect all of the cards that are in the wallet.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's
that easy, mate. But because people don't know, they aren't using it.
Yeah. And that's an important thing to realize with so many of these scams. Yes, we can be vulnerable to all manner of scams, but it's incredibly easy to protect ourselves against them.
Yeah.
Which is something you go into a lot in your book, Mental Theft. I mean, you've got countless examples of scams in there. We might dip into a couple of quick nice ones there. Countless examples of scams. And you tell us how we can protect ourselves against things.
This is it. Some of the simplest ones are, okay, so I've just said to you that daily we're all getting emails that are actually scams of some sort. They're called phishing. They're just trying to get your information off of you, okay? Here's the one rule for all emails. Don't click the link. There you go. Whatever it is, whatever email it is, if they've sent you a link, you do not have to click it. Okay, even if it's an email you're expecting from your bank, they wouldn't put a link in there anyway. Banks are getting quite good at this now. Mm. Unfortunately, places like HMRC still don't understand this and they put links in. But what I'm saying is close down the email, go into whatever the account is, a way that you know and trust. So if you've got a bank account and it says, please click this, otherwise your account's going to be destroyed forever and your computer will blow up in 20 seconds. Whatever they've said, close down that email, go to your bank's website and check your account. Don't use the link. They are really good at making fake websites that look real, but they're not. What they're actually doing is saying, could you put your username here and your password here so that we get your username and password? If they're really clever, if you do it once, they will then redirect you to the real website where you then sign in and you go, oh, I must have hit a digit wrong, and you sign in properly. The scammer has now got your contact detail. They've got your username and your password. They've then put you over to the real website. You go into there, you check, and everything's okay. Okay. Now, realistically, some scammer is doing that to hundreds of thousands of people on a weekly basis. All they need is a few of you to give over the information, and they earn a very good living from it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, emails, don't click the link.
Don't click the link. Just go through your trusted way to get into your account.
Your trusted way. We all now have apps on our phones, what most of us do. Okay, my dad doesn't, but most of us do. We can just go, well, I'll close that email, I'll open the app that I already trust, that I've been using for years. I'll open that and have a look there. If everyone did that, we'd stop so much of the scams.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to what we said a few minutes ago. Yes, there are so many scams where people are attempting to scam all of us on a daily basis. But as long as you're just slightly just a little bit of vigilance, a little bit of protection, you can protect yourself against all of them. So it's something to be aware of rather than to be scared of. Would that be an accurate
summary? I love that. Something that we try to promote throughout my book and throughout my talks is to be strong, confident, but wary.
Mm.
Okay, if you can protect yourself to make you as strong as possible, that gives you an air of confidence so that when somebody does call you up and say, oh, your bank's been used for fraudulent means, you need to transfer all your money into a safe account, you're that confident that you're just going to go, I don't think so. I just don't think so. Not going to happen. And that wary just means, you know what? If you're crossing the road, surely you're going to look left and right. Maybe. It's the same with online. It's the same with scammers. And any scammer, if you turn around to them and go, I'm going to check on this, I'm going to verify what you're saying. If they're a scammer, they'll try and put you under pressure. They'll try and scare you. They'll try and force you into a decision. If they're a real person, if they're a real bank or a real credit card company, they'll go, brilliant. Can you call us back on a way that you trust? I'll put a note onto your account of exactly what I needed to talk to you about, and that means anyone in the company can see it. So you just call up, you say you didn't want to give us the information, what did you need? And I had this happen with one of my banks like 3 weeks ago. They called up and said, we need this, this, and this from you, and I said, no. Yeah. I explained to them what I do for a living, and they went, do you know what? You're the only person that said no this week. That is really good. Thank you very much. Can you call us on the phone number on the back of your credit card, talk to anyone in the customer service team? I'm going to put a note on your account now saying exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. Perfect.
Yeah.
Nice. I get off that phone call. I make another phone call to a free phone number anyway. I check it was real. You know what I mean? I'm now even checking that wasn't a scammer.
Yeah.
Because if I call my credit card company and go, I just got a phone call from this phone number, they'll go, well, it wasn't us. Can you give us the phone number again? We're going to investigate.
Yeah.
Or they go, yes, that was us. You spoke to Jody or whatever their name was, and she said that you were really lovely. She just wanted to tell you about this.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's, yeah.
Just pausing and thinking and being, I wouldn't even say being clever about it, but just be a little bit cautious. Be common sense, I guess, is there.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's something Ronald Reagan said years ago, and I'm not even sure if it was his statement or if he stole it from somewhere, but I love this. Trust, but verify.
Mm, a great advice to live by, trust, but verify.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the good people won't mind you verifying.
Exactly.
And you can still be polite to the scammer even when you know it's a scammer. It just amuses them when I do it. But, yeah, trust but verify. I love that saying.
Yeah. So is it just us individuals that get scammed? I mean, presumably, like the big financial organisations and banks and big companies, presumably they're rock solid, perfectly safe from it.
No. So I get asked if I can break into businesses, if I can break into buildings, if I can break into networks. And a lot of the time, if I'm going to break into a network, People almost have images of a hacker sitting there with 200 computers around them, and they're going to try and attack this machine. I don't do that. Most of the time, I'll put on a high-vis vest, pretend I'm a delivery driver, and get into the building. If I can get into the building and get access to any of their internet ports, I can plug a computer in and give myself remote access from somewhere else. Now, that's what scares people, because they put all these defences up. You get these big companies putting defences up against the internet and what can come in via the internet. They don't think about some dodgy bloke wearing a baseball cap and a high-vis jacket, you know, who's got delivery notes that look legit, who's part of a well-known company. And it's not that hard to get a high-vis jacket branded with somebody else's logo. Well, actually, some of my high-vis vests are branded with MT Security, and it stands for mental theft. But nobody questions it.
Yeah.
Because the logo looks legit, and I've got paperwork for MT Security. I shouldn't have said that publicly, should I? There's going to be people watching for that now.
Well, you say that, but we both know they're not going to. They're just going to see the person in the high vis. Oh, yeah, in you go.
Yeah. And it is. I was talking with somebody the other day about a well-known supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And how easy it is to steal high-priced items from them. So a lot of big-sized supermarkets now have their television department, and they will have nice big flat-screen tellies underneath the display. And if you wear a high-vis jacket, you can normally just walk out.
Hang on, let me just make a note of this. Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, we've tested it.
Blimey. Don't they have like security tags and so on the TV that set their sensors off when you go out?
They should.
Oh.
Mm.
Wow. And again, that all just goes to show that just a little bit of forethought, a little bit of prevention.
Because somebody got complacent, someone relaxed, because someone didn't put the tags on all of the boxes.
Mm.
And let's be honest, it's not hard to spot those tags.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, if you are the type of person that wants to steal that for a living, you're standing there and looking at 20 boxes quickly and going, that one's got no tag.
Yeah.
Game on.
Well, that's the thing with the tags. The tags are big, so they are obvious to deter people, but I guess, as you say, it makes it easy to spot the one that hasn't got the tag on it.
Yeah. And this is it. And, Jim, okay, so the big organisations, they've got the money to pay for security consultants who can come in and work with them on this. What I'm more concerned about is the SMEs. I'm more concerned about the individuals. I'm more concerned. And do you know what? I help some of the big insurance companies, and they're great because they help pay my mortgage, and I love them to bits, okay? But when you get a small business owner ping me an email saying, oh, my God, the exact scam that you described, they just tried it on me. And I knew it was a scam because I heard you talk about it. I saw a video of you doing it. I read your book and it was in there. And then you work it out. And you had the book, thanks, mate. And you work it out, and we've just saved that company 15 or 20 grand.
Wow, which can be all the difference between life and death for small and medium companies.
It could. So many companies, if you take that sort of money off them, that's their whole cash flow gone.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, we could talk about these for hours. I know you've got countless examples. You take us through many examples in your book, Mental Theft. It is full of case studies, examples of scams, yep. And more importantly, what you can do to protect yourself against them. What would be your top three tips that we could all follow to help make ourselves just that little bit more secure?
One, read the book. I don't care if you buy it. I don't care if you borrow it of someone. Don't care if you buy it paperback or Kindle or, you know, if you really can't afford it, message me. Okay? I've been moaned at because there's too much information in there and it can help too many people. So whilst I can't tell you exactly what situation each listener or each person viewing this is in, there will be something to help you. Number two, get an RFID protector, please. Okay, until I'm at the point where when I deliver a talk and 95% of the hands stay up when I say who's got an RFID protector, I've got a lot of work to do. Mm. And then, do you know what? Remember the statement that me and you were just saying from Ronald Reagan, trust but verify.
Trust but verify.
If somebody has come to you trying to approach you about anything financial in any way, if they want a password from you, if they want you to start a new username, don't use the same passwords. Do something different. I mean, mate, there's so many tips we could give. But yeah, trust but verify. And if they give you a card that is their ID, don't call the phone number on their card. I went to a building, quite a well-known company, that had paperwork saying that I was part of their security team and I had to go in to check how secure they were, which is brilliant for someone to break in. And when I gave them the paperwork, they used the phone number on my paperwork to check if I was real. Now, the reality is that phone number went to my buddy who was sat in the car in the car park. Yeah. Okay, and my buddy's answered with the fake name that we've got on the paperwork and said, yes, this is Mr. John Smith. Oh, you've got Paul there. Yeah, he's one of our lads. He's a good guy. He'll try and get out there quickly, but he does a very thorough job.
Trust but verify. Yeah,
absolutely. And verify it in a sensible way.
Exactly, yeah. Now, I mean, as we've said, there's lots of information in the book, Mental Theft. Your mind is the weakest link. That's true. Where can people get this book? How can they get a hold of it?
Do you know what? We've done a deal with Amazon. You can get it direct from there. And I think the wait day on that is like it's on Prime delivery. So it's a day or 2 days. But most bookstores can get hold of it. I'm in a weird world at the moment, Keith, where I don't know how well this book is going. It's just gone nuts in my head. So if you have a favorite bookstore, ask them, okay? Because if they don't have a copy, they will be able to get hold of one. It's just gone weird, mate. I don't know anymore. But if you're the type of person that likes to sit on the internet and buy stuff off Amazon, it's easy.
So like they used to say in all or in the old adverts, available in all good bookstores and Amazon.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
Thank you so much, Kwame. I've got a lot out of this. I'm sure everybody watching and listening will have got a lot out of this. If you've enjoyed this episode, click like, click subscribe, give us a rating, leave us a review. Catch us in the next one, where we're going to have lots more interesting guests lined up for this whole series. Paul, thank you so much for taking the time out to be here. How can people get a hold of you if they want to get in touch, if they want to find out more?
We try and make it easy. Just go on the internet and look for Mental Theft. We have mentaltheft.co.uk or mentaltheft.com. You'll find us there. You'll find me or one of my team. We can help you.
Brilliant. So that's mentaltheft.co.uk, mentaltheft.com, or hit the social medias. It's all over social media. Paul, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you as a guest, as always. And we'll catch you again. Hopefully, we'll have you on in Series 3 as well.
Yeah, you can get me to come back. And next time, we'll definitely make sure there's wine and mince pies, okay?
Now you're talking. I like the sound of that. Wine and mince pies. And meanwhile, everyone else who's been catching us, thank you so much. And I will catch you in the very next episode. Until then, take care. Look after yourself. And remember, change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.